Now, how much do you want God's power? And how much do you want to see your loved ones saved? And how much do you want to see your prayers answered? Do you want it so much that even in your time of deep affliction, you'll say, Lord, if this is what it takes to get close to you, then most gladly I'll receive this time in my life.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
As we approach this Thanksgiving Day, we recognize that there are many in this country who struggle with how to express their feelings. And that's sometimes difficult in a secular society where many people are taught that you do not speak of God, you do not speak of the Bible in the public arena. One little fourth grade girl was giving her thoughts about Thanksgiving at a public school, and she said, well, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom for you know what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. And because of this, we worship every Sunday you know where. And I'm so thankful that we can gather here tonight freely, publicly, and unashamedly say that were it not for the grace of God, we would not be here tonight. And we're thankful to Him. And we want to express our thanks to him tonight. I heard about a husband who gave his wife a beautiful skunk coat for Christmas. He laid it by the Christmas tree, and when his wife opened it up, she said, I can't see how such a nice coat could come from such a foul-smelling beast. The husband said, I don't ask for thanks, but I would like some respect. And I believe tonight that all of us, within the context of our families, within the context of our Christian family, and especially within the context of God's gift of salvation, all of us have much to be thankful for tonight. There's something about human nature that pulls our thought process so many times into thinking about what didn't go right or what could have been, or thinking about how we might have done something differently. And it seems that all of us can be tempted to live in that rut. But then we come to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we come to a series of many sermons at the last portion, and we read in this verse 18 the words of the Apostle Paul, a man who had been beaten, shipwrecked, betrayed, stoned, snake-bitten, falsely accused. And we hear this man telling us, in everything, give thanks. Now, if some of us were to have been the human authors of the Scriptures, and we know the Holy Spirit is the author, but if some of us had stood and said, in everything, give thanks, I suppose someone could point and say, yeah, but you just don't know how bad it is. But how many of you would agree with me? It's hard to say that to the Apostle Paul. Because he sure had his share of challenges as he served the Lord. And yet, the Holy Spirit allows him to say, in everything, give thanks. And so, tonight, we come to listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit of God, and he teaches us how to live with a grateful heart. And before we partake of the Lord's table, I believe the Scriptures can help our hearts to be prepared. The first way we live with a grateful heart is to hear the command for thanksgiving. This is, after all, a command. It is not a suggestion. It is not someone's best thought or idea. It is the command of the Holy Spirit. In everything, give thanks. Someone said, thanksgiving is thanks living. Learning how to live every day giving thanks. This matter of giving thanks, first of all, is to be continual. This verb is in the present tense. When we are told in everything, give thanks, it is God's will that we would continually, forevermore, give thanks. And by the way, We might as well start practicing now, because if you're saved, you're going to give thanks to God for all of eternity. Amen. In everything, give thanks. Psalm 146 and verse 2, while I live, will I praise the Lord. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. The Bible says in heaven, in Revelation 4 and verse 8, the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. We're going to be giving thanks to the Lord for all of eternity. And the Bible says, in everything, continually give thanks, in every circumstance. And there are many ways to give thanks. We give thanks with our lips. The Bible teaches us that we should verbalize our thanks to God. Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There is no such thing as a self-made man. And it is a wise father who, when he is blessed, says before God and his family, the Lord has been good to us. Thanks to the Lord for his provision. Thanks to the Lord for this meal. Thanks to the Lord for our job. Thanks to the Lord for our daily bread. It is a wise man who says with his lips, I give thanks to the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. What a great saying. When we bless God for mercies, we extend them. And when we praise God and bless him for miseries, we usually end them. God says, in everything, continually give thanks. And we do that with our lips. We also give thanks with our livelihood. The Bible teaches that we can give thanks in tangible ways. In your notes, Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:16 speaks of communicating. And the word communicate is speaking about giving of our substance, giving of our lives, our livelihood to others. Whether that's to a missionary project like the church in Manila, whether that's a pie to your neighbor tomorrow evening, whether that is putting a $5 bill in a college student's hand, whatever it is, the Bible teaches that when we do this and when we communicate, it's a sacrifice pleasing to the Lord. It's a way that we can give thanks that pleases the Lord. And you'll see that principle in Philippians 4:15, and that is also in your notes. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And so we can communicate with our lips. We can communicate with our livelihood. We're, as a church, entering into an exciting time in our history, and we're coming close to the point where we'll support, by the grace of God, 200 missionaries from this church. And I thank the Lord for that. But I believe every time a check hits the account of one of those missionaries, it communicates to them. And it tells them, we're thankful for you. We're glad you're there serving the Lord. And we want to communicate to you our thanks to you for serving so faithfully. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29:9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the great king also rejoiced with great joy. Generosity and gratitude are inseparable. And so God commands us to give thanks continually. It is to be continual. And secondly, it is to be consistent. That is, in all circumstances we're to give thanks. In the good times and in the bad times. And I suppose that's where we struggle the most, and that's when the filling of the Spirit is most necessitated. Obviously, at all times we need the filling of the Spirit, but it seems more obvious our need of the fullness of the Spirit when at a difficult time we need to give thanks, because that's when we're less likely in our own flesh to do that. And our pride sometimes creeps in, and we want to grumble and complain, and we feel that we're receiving the wrong end of a certain situation. Henry Ward Beecher said, "A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." And so God says, in everything, give thanks. Give it continually. Give it consistently, even as the preacher is to be ready to preach in season and out of season. Every Christian should be ready to praise in season and out of season. And I believe that if America indeed moves into a difficult period in our economy, and no doubt in our moral fiber, we see decay in the land, I believe that this is the time for godly Christians to let the light of Jesus shine as never before. And I believe that unsaved people will see Christian people who truly are walking with the Lord, still giving thanks, still going to church, still praising God, just being consistent, just continually worshiping God in that time. And indeed, God can bless and bring revival when His people live this principle out each and every day. There's the command for thanksgiving. Notice secondly tonight, the criteria for thanksgiving. The criteria. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. The criteria of thanksgiving, someone says, when do we give it and for what do I give? And God just says, here's your criteria. For everything, give thanks. In everything. Tozer said, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one of the poorest of us can make, and be not poorer, but richer for having made it. There was a time in Rudyard Kipling's life when some student of his writings noticed that for every word he wrote and published, he was making at that time in his life approximately $100 a word. And they went to Kipling and they said, did you know that with all of the volumes of books you've written and all of the poems and all of the writings, that for every word you've written, you've made about $100? And they said to Kipling, could you give us one $100 word? He thought about it for a moment and he said, yes, I can. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks is a special word. God wants to hear it. Everyone appreciates hearing it. And the criteria for giving thanks is in everything. We give thanks, first of all, for the blessings. God is our infinite supply of blessings. And we quoted it a moment ago, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. Psalm 63 and verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. God says, I want you to come to me in the time of blessing. God also says, I want you to come and give me thanks in the time of burdens. In the time of burdens. Some of you perhaps have a burden tonight. And as a pastor, I wish I knew sometimes how to lift every burden. But the fact of the matter is that there are burdens that only God can lift. And yet even when you're carrying the burden, you can give thanks for the fact that He's giving strength, that He is providing grace, and there's always something in everything we can give thanks. During a harvest festival in India, there was an old widow that arrived at her church. And in India, many of the churches do not have fully supported pastors. Even this very week, there are certain Hindu groups that are paying money to those who will kill Christians in India. It's happening every day. And a widow lady arrived at her little church, the little hut where the Christians worshiped. She had an extraordinary, a large amount of rice that she was giving to the lay pastor. And she brought that to the pastor as her offering to the Lord and to support the work there. And the little itinerant pastor knew the widow well. He knew she had very little in her life materially. He did know that this lady had been praying for her son, who'd been very sick. And so he said to the lady, he said, why did you bring such a large offering? I know your son's been sick. She said, yes. She said, my son was sick, and I promised a large gift to God if He would make my son well. And the pastor said, and your son has recovered? And she said, no, my son died last week. But I know that he's with God in heaven. And I know that God makes all things well. And she wanted to give thanks in the time of her burden. I have many, many memories as a pastor here that are very humbling to me. Many times when I've tried to go and be a blessing to our members of this church, and as they carried such a heavy burden, and in turn they tell me what they're thankful for. I think of our staff devotions today, and we had a time of testimony, and the first one up was Brother Ken Jones, and Joyce has been going through the chemotherapy, and the very first family to stand and give thanks was the family with the battle of cancer happening in their life, giving thanks for the burden. Not long after that was the lady who sang just a moment ago, whose father slipped off into eternity just a few days ago, and no disrespect meant, but many would miss church for weeks and weeks after a tragedy like that, and yet we see God giving grace and people giving thanks even with the burden. I think of visiting Joanne Lofgren in the hospital today, and as Terry and I were there seeing Brother Eldon and Joanne briefly, and how they gave thanks to the Lord and how they praised the Lord from the ICU room. You say, how does that happen? It happens only by the grace of God. It happens only with the fullness of the Spirit. In Job 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And may I lovingly say tonight that no matter what trials you're experiencing tonight, and no matter what trials you may experience in the days ahead, be careful that you do not charge God. Be careful that you don't say, "Well, all those years I did this and that for the church, and I gave and I worked and all of this and that." Listen, friend, it's by the grace of God we're breathing tonight. Amen. Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. In the times of blessings, we're to give thanks. In the times of burdens, we're to give thanks. Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." I've told you the story. Years ago, Terry and I walked through a graveyard almost up by the Oregon-California border. Just an old Swedish dairy town there. And we stopped and got some ice cream with our young children on vacation. And at the edge of the town was the cemetery. And I know that with a lot of these old towns, there's a Christian heritage. And I said, "Let's walk down there and look at the graveyard." And so we went in and we began to read the headstones. And many of them spoke of Christ and the second coming and various themes of that nature. But there was one particular set of gravestones that caught our attention the most. And it was of a young mother, I believe 18 or 20 years old. And next to her headstone was the headstone of a little baby boy that died, I believe, the day or 2 days after its birth. A mother and a child dying within a 24-hour period. And on the headstone of the mother, the words were inscribed, "We cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but all is well that is done by thee." I don't know how much grace it took from God for a man who had just lost his wife and his child, but I tell you, God's grace had been sufficient for him. And God's grace will be sufficient for you. Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." I think it's interesting when we think about God's sustaining grace. I think it's interesting that even this Thanksgiving holiday, though it originated with the Pilgrims and it was reinstituted by President Washington, and Thanksgiving has been with us since the early days. It really did not become a national holiday until the time of Civil War. And oftentimes it takes not blessings to get us to be thankful, because blessings make us proud. Sometimes it takes the burdens to get us to stop and really think about what we're thankful for. And God says, I want you to be thankful for my sustaining grace. I want you to be thankful for my strengthening hand. This is what Paul says. And turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because these verses need to be known by every child of God. When it comes to God's strength, God's grace, when it comes to this matter of continually giving thanks, 2 Corinthians 12:7. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You mean even the great apostle Paul was given a trial, lest he be filled up with pride? And he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that I might depart, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know the passage. It is not God's will to heal everyone, contrary to some teachers today. The apostle Paul did not receive the gift of healing. God says, I'm not going to remove your malady, but I'm going to impart to you my grace and my strength. And so Paul the apostle writes in verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, notice that phrase, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, how much do you want God's power? And how much do you want to see your loved ones saved? And how much do you want to see your prayers answered? Do you want it so much that even in your time of deep affliction, you'll say, Lord, if this is what it takes to get close to you, then most gladly I'll receive this time in my life. That's what Paul was saying. Most gladly, therefore, will I receive this. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You may be a family tonight facing difficult times, or a college student wondering how you'll stay in school. And you're at a time of great infirmity and weakness. And I can't give you all of the answers, but one thing I can encourage you to do is come quickly to that place of saying, Lord, you have me here for a reason. Rather than get mad or angry or distraught, then most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in my infirmities, because I want to see your strength in my life. Charles Spurgeon said, they are sure to praise God best who serve him best. And how we thank God that he wants to bless his servants. J. Sidlow Baxter said, what God chooses, he cleanses. What God cleanses, he molds. What God molds, he fills. What God fills, he uses. Everyone says, God fill me, God use me. But sometimes God says, I've got to cleanse you first. And so we learn to give thanks during the blessings, and we learn to give thanks during the burdens, because both are a part of the Christian life. There is the command, in everything give thanks. There is the criteria, in everything give thanks. And then notice finally the consolation of thanksgiving. The consolation of thanksgiving. Look back at your text, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what is the consolation of giving thanks? Very quickly, notice, first of all, the volition of God. That is, the will of God. When you are giving Him thanks, you know you're in the center of His will at that moment. In everything give thanks. You say, well, I don't know if I'm in the right place or the right situation, but in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God. His volitional will for your life and mine is that we would give Him thanks. Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It is the will of God, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so we see the volition of God for our life, that we would give thanks. That's the consolation of giving thanks, that we are doing what God wants us to do, that we know it is His will. And then notice, secondly, the victory that is in Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Apostle Paul, who suffered more trials than we can imagine, also wrote in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, now, notice this, 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, there is victory in the truth of Jesus Christ. There is victory in the gift of Jesus Christ, and that is the gift of salvation. And if you are here tonight and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your salvation, as your Savior, let me tell you the thing that most of us in this room would instantly say is the thing for which we are most thankful. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's say that together. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. All right? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. There are hundreds of names to describe him, and yet with all of those names, he is still indescribable. He is still the unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ came to this earth. God came down in the flesh. And Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And Jesus Christ never sinned, and he never harmed anyone. And yet he voluntarily died on the old rugged cross, and he shed his blood. The perfectly sinless blood of God was shed for your sin and mine. And Jesus Christ, having shed his blood on the cross, then rose again on the third day, where he sits now at this moment at the right hand of God the Father. And he is ever making intercession for us. In a few moments, our church family will partake of the bread and then the cup. The bread and the cup. This is not a means of receiving Christ, as some churches teach. But this is a symbol whereby we remember what Jesus did at Calvary, whereby we remember that his body was broken and his blood was shed. And this is the gift that we will praise God for all of eternity for providing for us. It's unspeakable, the wonderful gift of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, I've got to tell you something. This unspeakable gift is available for anyone and everyone who will turn to Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I ask you to come into my heart and save me. It is a gift that is available for you even tonight. And if you're in this room and you're not sure exactly what to be thankful for, if you'll just stop and think of what Jesus did for you, and if you'll receive Christ as your Savior, then this unspeakable gift will be yours, and forevermore you will have something to give thanksgiving for. You may be in ICU, you may be in a jail cell, you may be anywhere in this world in the most difficult situation, but if you are in Christ, you'll have something to be thankful for. Amen. The unspeakable gift. It's the gift that two Christians can look each other in the eye, and with that gleam, just know, we're blessed. We have been blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are as far as the east is from the west. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm called the friend of Jesus. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have an inheritance reserved for me in heaven. I mean, you just can't quite put into words how great it is to know Christ as your Savior. And so we see in the Scriptures tonight a simple command: in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And I just want to say to you tonight, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how good times are or how challenging times are, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a command. It's a command. And we see it is given in a particular criteria: in everything, give thanks. And we see that it comes also with a consolation. Because God says, when you do this, you can know that this is God's will for your life. By the way, friends, it's the will of God that you would thank Him for His Son, Jesus Christ. And tonight, when we partake of this table, it is the will of God, first of all, that everyone who partakes is saved, baptized, and obedient to the Lord. But also that as we partake of this, that we would do so giving thanks. Jesus said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. May that be our heart tonight, that we would remember and honor and give thanks to the Lord.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.